Hey guys, what's going on? New episode of Bass Squad Radio, but before we start, there's some business to take care of. Bass Squad Radio podcast is sponsored by Amazon.com. If you go to the BassSquadCorp.com and click on the podcast page, you'll see that there's like a side sponsor page, and if you click the Amazon banner from there, you'll be whisked away magically to the online megastore that is Amazon.com. This page allows you to shop on Amazon whilst donating to the Bass Squad Radio podcast every time you buy shit. Now, this is not one of those things where you check out of the gas station and the clerk asks you to donate a dollar to get a dog bone, a shamrock, or any other piece of paper that you'll put up on your name written on it. Because, you know, it's a true meaning of charity, is saying, look at me and how much I care. You know, this is not that. This does not cost you 1 cent more than if you're shopping on Amazon.com. For whatever reason, Amazon gives us a small percentage of what you buy and helps support this podcast. Why would you go to a supercenter or major retailer when you can get whatever you need while sitting at your computer chair, unshowered, in your underwear, maybe drunk? Can you go to a store drunk and in your underwear? Of course you can, but I would highly suggest against it. Actually, Amazon.com allows you to not have to deal with all the poor souls that decide to get out of their house in that exact state, drunk and unshowered, touching and caressing the stuff that you might actually have to buy. Maybe you need some new bath towels. Do you really want to take the risk that Bubba tested them out before deciding to buy them? Christ, I'm not very good at this advertising shit. Save yourself the hassle of dealing with the masses and don't catch any diseases by stop shopping on Amazon.com and support the Bass Squad Radio podcast. Now, I added a widget to the podcast page where I recommend products every week. This time I have the spec case for my Samsung Galaxy S4. It's like probably one of the best inventions I've ever witnessed and I've ever seen. It's $30 and it's a wallet too. Now, people say, well, what if you lose your phone, you lose all your money? Yeah, but you know, if I lost my wallet, I'd lose a lot. I'd notice my phone gone way before I lost my wallet, I should say. I also got a couple books on there. I got, like I've said many times, Stephen Pressfield's War of Art. I got Graham Hancock's Fingerprints of the Gods. I got Ike and Ellie's book for obvious reasons. And I use the Samsung Chromebook. I put that on there too. Got a couple of comedy specials up there. So just check that out. I'll be updating that periodically. So if you guys want to check it out, please support the podcast. And, like I said, it doesn't cost anything extra to, if you're already shopping on Amazon.com. Hey everybody, how's it going? I think I'm just going to go ahead and start. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to read all the stories word for word as they were written by you guys. Appreciate it again. Thank you so much. Just a little quick news. I looked on our Podomatic site and because everybody's been supporting us so much and helping out so much, you guys, we're up to number 4 on the outdoor podcasts, which is kind of insane because we only have 20 episodes up and a lot of people are liking this, so I really, really thank you guys for doing that. If I might ask something that you guys could do for me and for us, go on iTunes and like or write and comment on what you think or comment on something about the podcast. If you like it, if you don't like it, I don't care. Just rate us because if we get ratings, it's a lot easier to pitch to sponsors and to boost our, you know, total reach to people. So thanks a lot with that. So what this contest is going to be, I haven't really decided 100% on how I'm going to do it, but I think we're just going to have voting on Facebook and Twitter and on our website. We're just going to tell you guys rank your top 3, what your favorite ones were, and then whoever gets the most votes, we'll publish all the votes, and whoever gets the most votes, I know who wrote all the stories, I'm going to keep them completely anonymous. And I'll send each one of you guys a t-shirt. Just hook me up with your address and I'll either give you or I'll give you one of the t-shirts we have. So, if you guys don't know it, if you guys don't know what the t-shirts look like, they're on the website, on the shop page. Also I added a couple new things up at the website. If you guys want to check it out, we just added a forum, which is really awesome. I really wanted to do that. Me and Toe Jr. were talking about it quite a bit about adding a forum. So we're going to have, you know, from time to time, different topics, different things. We're going to have some boat repair guy answer questions. We're going to have us answer questions if you guys have anything to say. You guys want to talk fishing, you know, forums are real popular at bass fishing community. So there goes my little spiel for that. So I'm just going to go ahead and start reading your guys' stories. I'm going to number them so you guys know which ones they are. It's not going to be too hard to understand. So, so here we go. Here is story number 1. We went down to the high school world championship on Dardanelle in 2012, and on our first day of fishing, the trolling motor fried. I kid you not, it flamed up and literally started burning up the front deck. Our boater, who turned 69 when we were down there, and my partner then drove to Little Rock the next day to get it fixed. They had been pranking each other for a while already. After they got it fixed, they were on their way back, stopped at some gas station slash fast food joint. I don't remember exactly. But our boater had to use a bathroom. Badly. My partner ran into the bathroom before him and unrolled a full roll of toilet paper and came back out. Our boater shoved them aside and ran into the stall. A while later, someone else finally tried to go to the bathroom to use it. They ended up having to get the old man a spare roll of toilet paper. He stood and laughed in the store the whole time. As punishment, however, our boater locked all the windows on his ride back and let out McDonald's coffee gas the entire ride back and made my partner soak in it. I think they're even now. Okay, that was story number one. Story number two. We were pre-fishing Okauchee Lake in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and we had a pretty good morning. It was a Thursday, so there wasn't as much boat traffic as normal. A weekend on the Waukesha County Lakes is nothing short of completely insane. During one tournament, I can distinctly remember a 70-boat party flotilla of pontoon boats, a 35-boat sailboat race in the main part of the largely bowl-shaped natural lake, jet skiers, many other boats of the over 2,500 residents that live on the lake, as well as a 60-boat bass tournament. So things tend to get pretty hectic on a 2,000-acre lake. Anyway, so we were out on a Thursday because neither of us had work and caught some 3-pounders flipping docks and throwing swim baits and wanted to try a different part of the lake. And to get to it, we had to cross a no-wake channel, so we usually fish our way through. When we were fishing in that channel, a pontoon boat came into view, blasting the Black Eyed Peas song, "Gotta Get That Boom Boom." With 6 people on board, 2 overweight middle-aged men with no shirts on, and 4 of what I can only describe as cougars with bikinis on. This is not an uncommon sight, but a little strange for 9 a.m. on a Thursday. As they came closer, we noticed each person had in their hand a giant glass of some colorful liquid, and judging by their dancing and not give a fuckedness, loaded with alcohol. When they were within flipping distance from the boat, they asked us how the fishing was. My buddy responded with a somber, "Pretty good," and without missing a beat, the driver of the party pontoon boat shouts, "Well, we got a lot of pussy on board," followed by woos from the 4 women. Anybody who has never lived or fished in Wisconsin, this right here embodies the state in a nutshell. Okay, that was story number 2. So if you want to vote for that one, just say number 2. Of course. All right, this next story, this is number 3. Dateline. Dateline Lake, October 2013, one of the last outings of the year. I made the 2-hour drive down to Burlington to meet up with Mike Bush for some late-season bass fishing on the mighty Mississippi. As the day progressed, the bite was not good as expected, but the cold rain could not keep us from our quest for some late-year lunkers. Knowing winter was coming soon, we decided to try a backwater lake. As we drove up through the slough towards the open lake, anticipation was high. As we were driving, there was a laydown coming about 1/3 of the way across the slough. Mike swung wide around the tree. The next thing I know, time was standing still and we were heading back directly towards the bank. I wondered to myself if he was going to turn, but as the bow hit the soft, gradual bank, I knew we were going to hit dry land. I was thinking, what is he doing, and who knows what he was thinking. There was really no impact, just the oh crap feeling as I braced for the jolting stop that we never experienced. Our exit from the water was smooth and gradual, and as you can see from the pics, I'll post them on the blog or on our website, we slid about 30 feet onto the wet bank. Immediately, my thoughts went to the fact that I was stuck on an island 2 hours from my home with my kids expecting trick-or-treat in about 4 hours. Luckily, with the help of a friend, we were able to swing the bow into the water and push the boat into the slough. We were able to safely return home and get a fresh pair of pants. Alright, that was number 3. Now, number 4. Back in 2011, I was on my way to the state final tournament down on Carlisle Lake in Carlisle, Illinois. On our way to West Access Marina on our last pre-fishing day on Lake Road, we experienced an incident that I will never forget. I was in a truck hauling our other boat, and my friend and I noticed that our other boat in front of us was acting a bit strange. More so, the left wheel of the trailer itself was starting to wobble a bit, so I got out my phone and was in the process of dialing my buddy's number when, out of nowhere, the wheel came flying off the trailer onto oncoming traffic, almost taking out a car, and rolled out onto a wheat field. Being it was only a single-axle trailer, the left side fell and smacked onto the asphalt, which took a chunk of the fiberglass off the trailer, and proceeded to grind along the surface of the road. We pulled over to assess the damage, along with the retrieval of our tire, which took about 20 minutes to find in the middle of a wheat field. It surprisingly went pretty far. The bearing buddy on the spindle cable came loose, which caused the wheel to fly off. To add more to our problem, the bearings, when the axle was dragging along the asphalt, had basically welded themselves to the spindle due to the excessive heat, and on top of that, the hub that housed the bearings had cracked in half. We decided to use our other boat. Well, that one got fixed. What else could go wrong, right? But the boat had a problem with its fuel injection lines, and we went to go pre-fish and would not start. So we spent the majority of the evening trying to find a shop that sold a four-spoke hub to fit onto our trailer that we wouldn't be able to fish in the tournament. We ended up buying a four-spoke housing to a drum brake that served as a temporary fix. While we were fishing our tournament on day one, my friend went and got the trailer properly fixed, in air quotes. We ended up having the same problem later in 2012 because it wasn't properly fixed, but at least we weren't rushed to the tournament the second time. This proves that anything can and will go wrong in tournaments, so always prepare for the worst. That was number four. Yeah, number four. That was number four. All right, this one's number five. Rookie mistake. Every now and then, everyone has one, even the most seasoned of veterans. Well, in my case, it's plural, and it happened Saturday. I'm usually the kind of guy who is very meticulous about everything when it comes to my boat, making sure everything is in line, the trailer is in working order, boat is plugged in, etc. I mean, come on, I've been around boats since I was born, I work in fisheries, and I've had my own boat several years now. I never forget a thing, until now. Little background. I've been fishing a good while already this year. The boat has been on the water several times, including a week on Gunnersville for the Bass World Sports Classic. So I have everything pristine right now with my rig. About a week ago, I started fishing Lake Shelbyville, my home water at the moment. Yes, where the elites had the all-star tourney 2 years ago. Needless to say, the lake really sucks for bass fishing right now. It's muddy and we've had a lot of rain. Winter pool, no vegetation, just junk. So me and my buddy found out Friday the crappie fishing was on fire. Takes nothing to get a solid limit and catching 80 fish in a couple hours. This makes me pretty excited to get out on the water. So Saturday evening, I have a solid 2 hours of fish and I grab my two buddies, Josh and Jeff. Figured we would have a good time and have a fish fry earlier in the week. Well, we got onto the lake and everything was rocking. Gonna slay them. I knew the tie downs, put the plug in, the whole works. So I proceeded to hand Josh the keys and jump into the driver's seat, only to realize one really factor. I'm the biggest idiot ever. I mean, who the hell does this? I forgot the keys. Really? I felt the squishiness of my damn key float that morning and didn't put them in the boat. What a moron. I proceeded to tell the guys and go figure get a ton of grief. Oh, but it doesn't get end there. No. I have to go on to bigger and better stupidity. Determined to fish crappie, I think of another launch of the lake so I can get around close to trolling motor only. So we drive there and it's basically launching off a sandbar. There really isn't a launch, but everyone uses it as one, with small boats. I know what you're thinking, this dumbass is going to get his truck stuck. Well, I'll tell you, I'm at least smarter than that, but still stupid. I take control of the truck this time and decide to back Jeff down the bank. Truck in 4x4 already for the soft, sandy bank. Boat off the trailer and go park. I come back thinking, I should have probably told Jeff how to lower my trolling motor. Brand new Motor Guide 109 with an old Gator mount. That's tougher than hell to work. Everyone who knows boats knows you have to put some pressure on the mount to release tension and lift it up or lower it. Well, not Jeff. So he's floating out in 30-mile-an-hour winds, blowing down the lake. I'm screaming from shore while Josh is laughing his ass off at me. Me screaming, step off the head of it. No, the bracket, you moron. Not the fucking shaft or the motor. No, not the motor, the damn bracket. Thinking we should cut our losses, and I hear a snap. Jeff breaks the lift string on the trolling motor. Damn it, he's about to hit a highway bridge piling. So I scream again there's a paddle in the compartment to his right. He goes left. Not only the rod locker, you idiot. This all stems from me being a dumbass and not telling him the right information. I'm really feeling like an idiot and screaming at him for being a pussy and not having the strength to step on the bracket and yank the rope. And he's complaining the wind is strong again, so you pussy, just paddle. He gets to the shore after a lot of cussing and screaming and probably all the shore fishermen laughing their ass off at us. I fix the new rope on the trolling motor and away we go, blowing in 30-mile-an-hour winds and trying to crappie fish with a 1/32-ounce jig. Of course this isn't going to work, and obviously even quiet Josh and slightly sarcastic Jeff are giving me shit. I was determined to catch some crappies. The kicker, you asked? Crappie fishing sucked and we caught 4 total. Moral of the story, don't be a dumbass like me. Realize rookie mistakes will happen to all of us. Someday, somewhere, you will have a shitty night like I had. But the next day you slay the fish, you set out for what you just did. Okay, number 6. That was number 5. This is number 6. Last July on a hot summer's eve, I took my girlfriend bass fishing at a local lake because there was no date better than a little water time. After a few hours of catching some small dinks, we were both itching for a Big Mama. I switched my old lady to a black Cinco. Two casts later, my girlfriend, equipped with a Zebco push-button reel, set the hook like a wild man on what seemed to be a nice-sized one. The battle was ferocious. The drag was stripping like a 20-year-old college girl on spring break at PCB. The fish finally surfaced. No doubt this was a 5-pound bass, the biggest she'd ever faced. As the fish was getting closer to the boat, it made final surge towards the depths and snapped the 10-pound line in a reel like a dry twig. Distraught, she sunk into her seat and wept the rest of the evening. Okay, she didn't cry, but she was actually pretty mad. The next evening, my buddy and I decided to go out to the same lake. I was flipping a black and blue jig on this day. About 200 yards from me, or later, Mr. Fish, I felt the clinging pressure on my line. Doing as any fisherman would do, I ripped that Dobbins flipping stick and set the hook. I could tell this was a nice size one because I can get to the surface right away. After a short battle, I got the fish in the boat. As I was putting it on the scale, I looked in the mouth and with the fish, unbelievably, there was a black Cinco sitting halfway down its throat. The fish ended up weighing 5 pounds, 8 ounces. Moral of the story, men are greater than women. Okay, I'm such an idiot. I think that was number 6. No, that was number 7. That was number 7. Right? No, 6. Who cares? Let me just check right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, that was number 6. This next one's number 7. Okay, this one's number 7, guys. I'm sorry. I'm a moron. Okay. Here we go. As a bass fisherman, ice fishing is something that I do all winter in Wisconsin to pass the time, even though I completely hate the activity. I have come so far with my addiction that ice fishing during the winter is like methadone to a heroin addict. I'm not going to bore you with the fishing aspect of the trip, just the nitty-gritty details. My friend and I decided to get together as we don't see each other too often when it's not tournament season, and he never really ice fishes. This day was a balmy minus 47 with the wind chill, but we went anyways. Like I said, it's a disease. We drove out in my Dodge Ram 2500 to a popular spot on the lake. I'd never ice fished before, but I did have a GPS and generally knew where the brake lines were, and set out 6 tip-ups. Then drilled another hole next to the boat, dropped the underwater camera down, and sat and watched plankton roam across for 4 hours with a truck running, never seeing anything resembling a fish. We figured that all the holes with the tip-ups had since frozen, but at this point we just didn't give a shit. As the sun was setting, we decided to pack up and actually had one pike on a tip-up, but the flag was literally frozen to the snow and never went up, indicating there was a fish on. Because the wind was so high, snow drifts actually formed over the holes. I failed to mention before the driving to the spot, this was no easy task, because my four-wheel drive was shoddy at best, and we had 45 inches of unstable snow above the ice. We start the car up to leave, but we are not going anywhere. The exhaust had melted the snow around the tires, so we were sitting on straight wet ice, and the front tires were buried from the snow drift. After 30 minutes of screwing around, my buddy trying to push a 2,000-pound vehicle, all we accomplished was digging the tires deeper into the snow. Finally, a guy came over with his truck and a tow rope. Still nothing. He'd happened to have kitty litter and a shovel on him. Great luck, as we thought. Another hour or so passes by, and my partner is standing behind the truck, rocking it back and forth while I rev the engine, surely sweating and surely catching hypothermia. Finally, by the grace of God, the truck breaks free, and I start moving forward. We never really planned on what to do, but slowing down would just get us stuck again. My buddy shouts, just fucking gun it! So, I do, not knowing what his plan was, because we were miles away from the shore. I couldn't look back either because I had to weave through the shanty town that forms on many lakes in northern Wisconsin. I'm going maybe 7 or 8 miles an hour, and suddenly my passenger door swings open. My buddy jumps into the truck in one fell swoop, takes a deep breath, and says, "Let's get the fuck out of here." Okay, number 8. There's one more after this one. This is kind of a long one, so just to let you know. Let's paint the scene. It was late October, fall transition time period on Kentucky Lake. A bunch of us students on the bass fishing team wanted to go out one weekend and have a little derby just for kicks. As a result, we planned our outing for the upcoming Saturday morning. My roommate and I had one boat, two other fishermen and another, and a freshman and a senior in the last one. So I wake up in the morning, eat my Red Delicious apple and Linden's plain bagel with strawberry cream cheese, and after dressing to go wake up my roommate. As I try to wake him up, he slowly rises and tells me to go ahead and get the boat hooked up and ready so that he can shower and get his stuff together. I want to stop here and give some background information. My roommate and I live in the dorms, and we do not have a boat. However, our buddy, Junior, on the fishing team, has been gracious to let us use his boat. 2006 Nitro Z7 powered with a 200 Optimax. Needless to say, a very nice boat. So when I left the dorm room that morning, I went to pick up his boat and bring it back to the school parking lot where all of us were meeting before we headed out to Kentucky Lake. I rev up my buddy's house, hook up the boat, and drive back to campus and met up with the two other boats ready for our mini tournament. But when I came back to the room to get my roommate, He was in a fully exhaled cat stretch, hunkered over our common room's toilet, puking his guts out. Regardless, I ask him anyways, you still going out today? His simple reply, no. For whatever reason, he was contaminated with a 24-hour flu overnight and had him bedbound the entire day. He said it was just a virus, but I still say it was from the Mexican food we had the night before. Anyways, as a result, I left solo for our outing, and after we were all settled in the parking lot, we finally left. I ended up being the first to blast off, and for my run, I ran about 8.5 seconds in my first spot. We were in a part of Kentucky Lake where the grass was plentiful, but at this time of year, it was starting to die off. So I picked up my Frankentoad on the back of a homemade weedless buzzbait rig and started to cover water. I had two blow-ups on it within the first 10 minutes, but I couldn't get a hook in them. Then I idled back to a mat further and threw my buzzbait right into a textbook hole in the grass, and kabloosh, I hooked up with a good one. She pinned herself on the mat, so I had to go up there and try to manhandle her out of the matted jungle that they call hydrilla down here. And when I did, I was rewarded with a 3.5-pounder. First keeper of the day, I was very pleased. So I put it right in the box, but when time to cook the aerators on, I was bamboozled by the nitro switches. There was only two switches, pump in and pump out, an aerator recirc. It was an ignorant mistake on my part, because I grew up in a 185 VS Ranger with automatic valves and timed aerators, but I thought since there were only two switches on, it would be easy enough to figure out, you would think. So I turned the pump switch on, started filling with water, and went back to buzz frogging. I catch my second fish pretty close to the first one, but it was a cookie cutter that I had to measure. I go for the bump board, but I can't find it. I figure the kid had to have one in his boat somewhere. Then after completely ransacking, I found a plastic fold-out measuring board that I figured would suffice. I was about 10 seconds from the dollar bill method. The fish ended up measuring, and as I go to put it in the live well, I saw the water was pumping in, but none of it was holding. Therefore, I turned the aerator switch on and let that run for a bit to see if that would do anything. Then back to fishing I went. I fished that mat for a while, checking every few minutes to see if the live wells would fill, and sure enough, they were finally filling up. So I ran to my next spot and continued with my buzzbait, only a few shorts to show for. I met up with one of our boats and talked to them for a while, and they were having a tough time too. But we trolled over to a mat and infiltrated it from both sides with buzzbaits. I punched some of it, but the conditions were too right for my Frankentoad buzzbait. So we go along and caught a couple of shorts on the way, then the other boat hooks up with a very decent 4-pounder. But that was our only excitement out of there. However, the sun was finally coming out of this clouded shell, and I figured it was time to devote the rest of the day to paycheck punching. Devote the rest of the day to paycheck punching the daylight of whatever grass was left. After the 3-mile run, I pulled up to some main river juice, only to find that most of it was gone. The tears already started rolling as the end of the punching season came too quickly to an end. Nevertheless, there was still enough to flip in, and I went down the entire stretch, knowing that if I found enough of it, I was going to get bitten it. And I did just that. Every time I pulled up to a part of the mat where the blown junk met the rooted hydrilla, it was game time. And the heart-wrenching bite of the day came when I lifted my punch rig and hit the bottom of the mat, and big old aquatic cryptide absolutely ripped the rod out of my hands. And the only thing I could do was plant my feet and hang on. I was at a point where I couldn't even set the hook, and it was just too quickly I had her pinned. I let her go. I figured it to be a 6+. You could just tell by the way the mat was bowed over when she bit. Although it hurt emotionally and physically, I gathered up the rest of my pride and kept on flipping. I ended up finishing my limit by punching, but I still couldn't figure out that live well. I was able to fill it up by leaving both switches on, but I didn't want to burn the batteries up. But then I would turn the pump in switch to neutral, and all the water would empty out anyway. So I struggled with that the entire day. Just about when the 4 p.m. hits, my phone dies. But I knew that we were going to meet back at the launch around 5. So for the next hour, I kept on punching my heart out, still trying to upgrade my limit. But when I looked at the GPS and 5 p.m. came, I decided that I'd stay out fishing till dark because I wanted redemption for the beast I'd lost earlier. And there was one last mat that looked really good from the distance, so I ran over there, but when I started fishing around, I could tell it was dead water. Therefore, I ran back to the area where I was catching them before and started to work my way back at 5:30. Then I decided, you know what, if I leave now, maybe I can still meet up with the rest of the guys. And as I trolled out to the main river channel, I went to fire up the big motor and click, 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 dead cranking battery sound. Fantastic, I thought to myself. I was the only one on the frickin' river, daylight's running out, and I was about 10 miles from the launch where the near-dead trolling motor batteries, and my phone was dead. I was ready to park up in a mat, clear out the red box, and go to bed for the night. But then I saw one boat was about 100 yards away from me, so I limped over there with the trolling motor, and as I approached, I recognized the boat. It wasn't one of the boys we went out in the morning, but wouldn't you know it, it was another boat from our fishing team. So I went over by them and asked. They had jumper cables, but they did not have any. After trying many different wiring scenarios, we decided that they'd have to tow me in. Finally, at about 7 p.m., we made it back to the launch, and after an hour ride in the dark. But regardless, I was just happy to be back at the launch. And as I went up to get the truck, I see that the freshman and that the freshman and freshman boat was still in the parking lot. They were stuck there because their truck battery died. How ironic. And guess what? He had jumper cables. So I started my truck and pulled up next to his, trying to get his going, but when that happens, the cables don't work. Oh my goodness. We unhook the cables and I go to the boat on the trailer, and the entire time I'm bursting with eager anticipation of how swell and easy it would be to try and put a dead boat on a trailer. I've done it once before, but even then it wasn't a smooth job. So trailer is in the water, I'm coming full steam at the trailer with the trolling motor, and I get the boat, reach about halfway, and here comes the fun part. I release the crank strap, hook it to the boat, crank it about 3 feet from where it needs to be in order to be trailerable, then crank this, and the crank slip starts slipping. Meaning, just like when your reel drag strips and you have a triple sow cow on when you try to reel her in, that's how this was. Luckily, I have a wrench in the truck that fits the nut in the crank, so I tighten that down and start cranking again. I finesse it about 6 inches closer before it starts stripping again, so I tighten it even more. And then it came to the point where I tightened it too tightly, and the winch wouldn't crank at all. So there we were, stuck about 2.5 feet short. Now my two buddies and I had to brilliantly brainstorm an idea and move this 2,000-pound boat about 2 feet without a winch. You have any ideas? Neither did we. For another hour, we sat there trying to think of something, anything. Then the park ranger pulls around and asks us what we're doing. We asked if we had any jumper cables, and indeed he did. First thing was, we jumped my buddy's truck and let that run for a while. Then we went down and tried to jump the cranking battery in the boat with the trolling motor battery. But unfortunately, the batteries didn't have enough juice in them to win the other one over. There we were again, stuck. But then a light bulb sparked in the ranger's head, and he came up with the revolutionary, brilliant idea of, hey, if the cranking battery is in your buddy's boat works, why don't you just put the... Hey, if the cranking battery in your buddy's boat works, why don't you put in the dead boat? Why don't you put it in the dead boat? Sorry. I felt so stupid at the moment. I mean, really? It had to be that simple. I knew exactly what the pros meant when they said this is a humbling sport. They didn't mean it in this context and would get to this point. Finally, we swapped the batteries, get the motor fired up and on the trailer, and drove the hell out of there so we just get back to our rooms and breathe out a sigh of release once for that day. It was finally about 10:30, 11 p.m. before I came back to the room that night. It was dark at 6 p.m., and later the next day, I asked the boat's owner how to run the live wells, and he asked me if I had a plug in them. Dumbass, I thought to myself. But in defense, I never ran a boat and needed live well plugs. But also, he didn't have one in the boat because he lost it. So basically, I was screwed from the beginning. But still to this day, I thank God for the one time getting me back to the launch that night, and two, stranding my buddies at the launch with me. Unofficially, they told me I won the tournament that day. But really, did I? All right, last one. This is number 9. Last year, I was on a hot smallmouth bite in the spring. I was whacking them every weekend. On Father's Day, I left my family to head back out to the lake. As I left the house, I yawned out a happy Father's Day to my dad and left. When I got to the spot, they were loaded up again. I had 18 pounds and 5 in my first 8 casts. The rest of the day, I continued to massacre the big smallmouth all day. And as day was nearing the end, I realized it was getting windy and I was on a great lake, so the wind is a concern. I've ran through rough water before, but nothing could prepare me for what would happen. I ran out of the bay I was fishing in what I thought were 3-footers, only to find that it was 5 to 6-foot waves, with rogues that were much larger. Still 5 miles from the launch, I hit a wave so big that it put my gauges through my dashboard and into my console. My outboards immediately died. I was stranded in 5-foot waves. My first thought was to grab my flares and air horn. However, there was a big walleye rig right behind me. I immediately started waving my arms in desperation. Luckily, he saw me and came toward me and asked me if I needed any help. Of course I did. He told me 5 miles through the rough water to the harbor. I thanked him as much as I could, and he offered him money. He declined, saying, I quote, "No money, just help the next guy out. We're all here together. Any given day, it could happen to anybody. The brotherhood is real." I called my dad, who was upset that I left him on Father's Day, but he came out to help me load the boat. As we struggled, multiple people offered to help. My dad, who does not bass fish at all, was even overwhelmed by the story and the actions. Okay, that was with the 9 stories. Maybe we'll do this again. Yeah, just tweet us or Facebook us what your top 3 favorites were. Just re-listen to it over if you want to listen to them again, obviously. And so, yeah, I think that's going to end the podcast. Please just check out our new stuff on our website. I got the forum up and got some t-shirts still available to buy if you guys don't win. Yeah, that's basically about it. I think I'm going to get another one in real quick, another pretty soon. I'm sorry, I apologize for the late thing, but I've some technical issues and some stuff going on. So thanks a lot for listening again. This is going to be a pretty short pile, so I guess half an hour, so it's not too short. But yeah, thanks a lot. Peace out, guys.